body.
Today is Saturday, September 13th, 2014, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and Adriana's Mystic Connections. She is a wonderfully gifted angel reader with inspiring topics she shares with us every month. So without further ado, I give you your host, Adriana.
Hello. Happy September. It's an interesting day today. It's just 2 days after September 11th, which is certainly a big event in the lives of Americans. And it's also a big event in the lives of Afghanis and Iraqis, because it's a divining moment for our three countries. I thought I wanted to talk today about dealing with tragic loss, especially suicide or a loss that you weren't expecting. For instance, I lost my mother. And it was very sad, very, very sad. But we were expecting it. We knew she was ill. She had pulmonary fibrosis, and so she was in hospice. And we were all at her, around her, at some point prior to her passing. We all got to say goodbye several times. And as much as it could be, it was a good death. It was a death where we had closure and where we had any questions we had answered. And, even though I never wanted that to happen, and I still miss my mother, although, thankfully she talks to me from the other side, I had grief and mourning, but it was based on the fact that I knew it was her time. I knew that everything had been done that could be done. I didn't have the soul-racking grief that you get when someone is snatched from you out of the blue without any warning, without any notice. When our loved ones decide to join the military, they're told all about, you get thousands of dollars, and you get this, and you get that, and you can make the military a career. And no one ever points out that some of these people joining the military are not even old enough to drink yet. And sometimes they give their lives before they're actually old enough to have their first drink. And, of course, war has been throughout our history since the dawn of time. Back when we were cavemen and we were clans, I'm sure we were fighting against each other. There's always been war. There's always been stupid, tragic loss. And there's also been, that dinosaur that comes out of nowhere and grabs somebody and eats them, if you actually believe that all the dinosaurs, that some of them made it past that, whatever that event was, whether it was a meteor or something that came down and killed them all before humans morphed into being, which There has been some evidence, actually. Somebody saw some, found some footprints together of dinosaurs and humans. So it's possible, but maybe I'm just taking from one of my wonderful disaster films where people go back in time and have to live with dinosaurs and have to make do. Truth is, it's easier to talk about tragic death when you're talking about it in that circumstances, as opposed to kissing your loved one goodbye and then finding out that they died tragically later, maybe in a car accident or some crazy way that you weren't expecting. Sometimes a heart attack or stroke that happens suddenly. Sometimes death by a stranger, sometimes death by a family member, sometimes suicide. You know, you have no idea that that person is struggling with something and that you're not there to help them. You think, oh, if they need me, they'll call. But, you know, it's funny. When you're deeply depressed, the last thing you want to do is call somebody. And the last thing you want to do is talk to anybody. And so when somebody calls you, you're really irritated with them. Or at least when I'm deeply depressed, I'm irritated if somebody tries to get me out of my funk. But, you know, if somebody keeps trying, they do, right? And they talk to you and they, you know, tickle your funny bone and, you know, remind me or you or us of how blessed we are. And put things in perspective for us, because depression really is a lack of perspective. And depression can be chemically induced, that's true. But we also know spiritually that depression is also contagious. We know that if we're around someone who is depressed, or if we're watching depressing news like we've been watching on September 11th, just 2 days ago, that we, our emotions are affected and we tend to become depressed. We know that. You know, some people's answer to that is, oh, I don't watch the news, or, oh, I don't watch that September 11th coverage. But the thing is if something tragic or sad happens in your life, you can't turn that off. And if you have something like that happen in your life, and previously your coping mechanisms were, well, I'm just not going to look at that, or I'm just not going to put any energy or time to that, then you are left without a coping mechanism. I remember I was watching TV when the shootings at Sandy Hook happened, and I was mesmerized by the TV. I was in shock. I was in horror. I was watching everything. I couldn't believe what was happening. Elementary students just gunned down, you know, teachers trying to protect their children. And I asked my guides about that. I said, oh, my God, how do those parents get up the next day? How do you live with a horrible attack like that? What do you do? And my guide said that every single moment of this lifetime is precious. Every single breath we take is a miracle, and nothing is guaranteed. So we have to spend every moment of our lives being grateful, doing something, enjoying our lives. We're here actually to experience joy. And they said, you know, grief, mourning is it's all personal and is selfish. Especially if that loved one that you see that's gunned down isn't yours. Because depression and sadness are contagious. But I was grieving for someone I had never met. And we tell ourselves that that's what we call compassion. But I was helping no one by sitting there watching. I was only horrified and sad. And I recognized that what they were saying, why they were saying that was selfish. Why they were saying that there needs to be more direct intervention. You know, sitting there as a nation and being sad about someone who died or about an event, it's okay. It's okay to be sad. Something terrible happened. But you need, in order to put positivity back, which as spiritual beings, we're trying to have a more positive place. But we also need to be spiritually aware of what we're putting out into the universe. And sadness and grief and depression are all contagious. So is happiness. So is joy. So is positivity. I read a book and it was talking about negative spiritual attacks versus positive. Oh, I know, it was The Secret. And negative thoughts. This, in according to the author of The Secret, negative thoughts are not as powerful as positive ones, and the universe doesn't hear any negativity. So you have to make sure that when you're phrasing what it is that you want, you're saying it in a way without any negatives. For instance, if you were to say, I don't want this weight on my body, the negative is not heard by the universe, and the universe instead hears, I want this weight on my body. So you would phrase that as, I would like my body to be healthy and lean. And so then the universe hears exactly what it is that you're trying to put out. And we all have negative thoughts, but the author of The Secret mentioned that the positive thoughts are so much more powerful, and especially if you put them out there with intention, and that our guardian, and I also know this, our guardian angels block a lot of negative thoughts, even negative thoughts that we put out for us. So the positive is so much more powerful. So even if you think 8 negative thoughts, but you think 2 positive thoughts, you're probably pretty even across the board because the positive thoughts are so much more powerful. It's really important to be aware of what it is you are putting out, what it is that people are receiving from you. And that's a topic for another show. Let's go back to coping mechanisms. So when we have something tragic happen in someone else's life, it's a wonderful time, you know, for you to help them. You make the lasagna, bring it over, sit with them, talk about their loved one, because that's how their loved one stays alive, by talking. You know, my dad passed. I actually have 2 mothers and 2 fathers. I'm sure many of you are in the same situation. My mother remarried, and so did my father, both to wonderful people, and both at the same time. So it was kind of an interesting childhood, I guess you could say. And I still have my stepfather. The other three have passed. My birth father, whom I love very, very much, and who always, I think he saw me in a way when I was deeply depressed when I was a teenager that allowed me to see myself as beautiful. And that's a huge gift if somebody else sees you as beautiful. Because we, as children, we need to know we're beautiful and we're intelligent and we're smart. And not everybody in my life saw me that way. I was seen sometimes by my mom as, you know, comb your hair, brush your teeth, you know, can you please put on something that looks halfway decent, you know, and I went through a very dark time when I was a teenager, and my mom didn't think I was pretty, and I didn't think I was pretty, and the kids who picked on me and teased me in high school didn't think I was pretty, but my dad thought I was beautiful, and, you know, he'd say, oh, look how beautiful you are, look how tall you are, you know, you're so gorgeous, I'm so glad you're my daughter, and that, all of that positivity helped me through a dark time. And I don't think that I ever told him how much his just, you know, his easy compliments were. And he said them because he thought they were true. You can tell the difference when someone's just saying something that buckle you up and, you know, they think that's what you want to hear versus something that is true. So the first mechanism, if you're dealing with someone who has passed, who is not direct kin to you, but that you're affected by it, is to be grateful. Be grateful that you can help. Reach out to help. Do something meaningful. Don't just sit and watch TV. You know, help somehow. Send food. Sit and talk with the person. Do something meaningful. When September 11th happened, you know, we were all in shock. It was a shock and terror couple of weeks there. There was also an outpouring of love and generosity. And for a short time, we all felt like we all belonged to each other. We were all united. And part of that reason was we were all donating in some way, shape, or form. We were, you know, donating to firemen's funds or, you know, doing different things that made us feel united as a community. And doing those things if someone has passed or doing something for someone else is huge. It changes the feeling that you have from that dead grief, there's nothing I can do, to I've helped. And, you know, when you do something like that, you know, pin some wings on yourself. You become an earth angel when you reach out and you help someone like that, whether it's someone you know or someone you don't know. For instance, there was a tragic suicide in our extended family, and we went to the funeral, and, you know, just going to the funeral and donating is a wonderful thing to do because it helps the family. When someone passes and you're not ready for it, there's no money put aside. There's no nothing ready. So going and putting some money, you know, just a little bit, if enough people put a little bit of money, then suddenly something that is horribly grief-making and also devastating financially, just becomes a little better, a little easier. You know, sometimes we see someone on the TV who's experienced a house fire or something tragic, and, you know, just donating a little bit here and there. You don't have to donate a lot. You know, none of us are millionaires, but, you know, donating $5, donating $10, you know, most of us can do that. And I understand you can't donate to everything. I get that. But, you know, pick where you're going to donate. If it's a tragic loss within your family, if you're directly affected, then you are going to have to go through grief and mourning. That's just the way it is. And that grief and mourning takes different faces. It doesn't look the same to everyone. For instance, when my mom passed, for a little while, for whatever reason, I was much more interested in sex with my husband. I needed, I think, that intimacy with him. And it was part of my grieving process, and all I wanted to do was just, you know, have sex with him. And it was an interesting thing, and it wasn't what I would have predicted as one of my manifestations of grief, but there it was, and he wasn't complaining. And so, you know, don't tell yourself or your body, well, this is how I'm going to grieve. Allow yourself to grieve in the ways that are natural for you. For instance, sometimes laughter is the most healing thing. And allowing yourself to laugh at the craziness of life can be extremely, extremely healing. Another way, and this, of course, is a way that is dearest to my heart, is knowing that there is no death, that we only change our form. We don't change who we are fundamentally, and that if we open up and we allow ourselves to receive messages from the other side after someone we love so dearly has passed, especially if it has been a shock, especially if we weren't expecting it, that can be very, very comforting. A lot of times, people who pass through a shocking incident, they themselves are sort of shocked out of their body. They're not expecting to pass. So they may not directly cross over. They may spend some time wandering around, wondering what's going on. A lot of people like to stay around for their funerals or to see what happens. A lot, you know, I will experience that the loved one hasn't truly crossed over. You know, I'll go into a funeral and I don't know the person and I'll just immediately tap into stuff because that person is still there. A lot of people will say, well, you know, I had some messages right after they passed, and then it's been months and I haven't heard from them again. And the reason why that is if you have a very traumatic, unexpected crossing, once you do get to the other side, you tend to go into a cocoon state where your spirit is healing. Because that type of thing, it just totally rips apart your aura. And you're so weak. And also, you have to remember how to do all your communication again. It's like being a baby and learning how to walk. And so sometimes people cocoon themselves when they get over, and they don't immediately start talking. I had a situation where I had a young widow who was grieving her husband's death, and he had died 2 years ago. And we started communicating, and I felt like I was getting him, but I wasn't getting all of him. I didn't get enough of him. And so I stopped and reoriented myself and said my prayer again. And this time he came through, and he was being held up by these two nurse nun angel types. And he couldn't even walk. And he's being held up by them. And I realized that he had been in that cocoon state. And they were helping him because they wanted him to be able to talk to his wife. So then we started again, and this time everything was coming out clear to the point that he was able to talk to his wife and tell her who had killed him. And that was such a huge thing for me at the time. I was just, and it, the strength of it and the presence of it was huge, but also the fact that those two helper spirits were there propping him up so that he could have the strength to speak, that said a lot to me too. Time over there and time here are different. For him, it may have just been, a day. And for us, it had been 2 years. So coping mechanisms. The very first coping mechanism is help somebody. Just sitting there being sad, is selfish. My spirit guides say it's selfish, and it helps no one. Every day is a gift. Every day is a miracle. Nothing is guaranteed. All of us, every day, are blessed to wake up and be able to breathe and be able to work and do. And we all expect to wake up tomorrow, and the majority of us will. But take every day and make it something important. And what is important? Well, enjoy it. Really enjoy it. If you're doing something and you know you're wasting time, you're playing that game on the internet that you know does nothing except waste time and make you happy, hey, making you happy is important. So enjoy it. If you're sad for someone, do something to brighten their day. When my father passed, he believed in Scientology, and he had many different spiritual beliefs than your normal person, normal being whatever, Christian, whatever religion. And when he passed, he was in Texas and I was here in Michigan. And he had decided he wanted to donate his body to science. So my stepmother, who didn't have a lot of money, decided not to have a wake or a funeral because I told her, I'll fly you home. She said, no, we're not doing anything. I'm just going to go to California with my daughter and just pack up everything. So no, just save your money. So there was no funeral. There was no wake. There was no way for me to have any outlet for my grief. And my mother-in-law, who I love, who was extremely well-intentioned, gave me a novena from her Catholic belief and said, they're saying prayers for his soul so he'll reach heaven. Of course, he wasn't Catholic, so he'll probably just go into purgatory. And I'm like, what the... insert expletive there. No, take your religion and shove it where the sun doesn't shine. No, my father is not in purgatory, but thank you so much for your kind thoughtfulness. And then I just stormed out of the house. And, you know, my husband had to make his apologies for his dramatic wife and come after me and drive me home. And then for 2 years, I was on the verge of divorcing my husband because I loved my husband. I loved him. But he didn't share the same spiritual beliefs that I did. And my father had just crossed. And in his crossing, in that moment, I recognized how important spiritual beliefs are. You know, who would have the memory of my father? Who would carry that on? Who would believe the way that I was taught to believe? How could I teach my children when they were at the time going to catechism? And I loved my husband, but I kept looking at him like, this is a mistake. I married the wrong person. This isn't right. I'm supposed to be with someone who gets me spiritually. And so I call that my crazy period. And sometimes after we're in deep grief, we do get a little crazy. When my mom passed, all he wanted to do was wear her clothes. I felt like that made her closer to me. So I'd go to work, and she was 3 inches shorter than I am, 4 inches shorter than I am, and about 50 pounds heavier. So here I am wearing floods big time in clothes that were so big that I just looked like I was wearing tents sometimes. And people would say, why are you wearing that? And I said, it's my mom's. I just want to feel close to her. They're like, oh, okay, you know. This is appropriate? Not exactly. Whatever gets us through the next day when we're dealing with something like that is what we need to do. If that means going out and spending that some time doing something for somebody else, or if that means going out and spending some time with someone who can listen to us, who is willing to listen to us say the same thing over and over and over again, I can't believe that happened. How did that happen? You know, that's part of our coping mechanism as we're slowly getting our brain to accept that someone passed. People who have passed, people who survived someone who passed will say, I can't believe they're gone. They'll say it over and over again. I keep expecting them to walk through the front door, especially if they were not part of whatever it was that happened. If they were not there, then their last memory of that loved one is someone who's alive. So being there, listening, and if you're the one who has had this tragic loss, reaching out, talking, doing stuff for other people. But most importantly, and this is going to sound so selfish, but this is a true statement. You are here on this planet, in this plane, in this realm of existence for you. This is your experience. You are not here as someone's mother. You are not here as someone's wife. You are not here as someone's daughter. Other than that, that's the relationship that you have on this planet. But you are here as you. You are not here as someone's husband. You are not here as someone's father. You are not here as someone's son or someone's brother. That is not why you're here. You are here for you. That is your family connection, and it is important, but it is not nearly as important as you are. You are sacred. And as the fact that you are sacred, you have a duty to protect yourself. You have a duty to take care of yourself. People who are caregivers who lose the person they were giving the care to sometimes feel that they no longer matter because their whole realm of existence was caring for someone, and now what do? You know, they get to live. That's what they get to do. They get to go do things that they couldn't do before. We are all experiencing. We are all here experiencing. And grief is one of the things that we experience. But being in grief does not help anyone on the other side. People on the other side feel our emotions 10 times as strong as we're feeling them. So your loved ones, your guys, your angels, when you're having a bad day, are really dealing with buffets of this energy that comes along and goes, wham! Doing your best to put out positivity and happiness, kindness, so important, during times of grief and struggle, changes everything. My mother's death, although, of course, was traumatic, was the most beautiful death I'd ever seen. There was music, there was candlelight, she was surrounded by loved ones, and it was all grieving, but it was also all healing. My aunt's death, which came very tragically, and she was in the hospital, and we weren't prepared for it, was the opposite. It felt like she'd been ripped away from us. And I know she was ripped out of her body, and she spent several weeks here before she transitioned over. She wasn't ready either. Okay, well, I hope that that helped. I know it helped me. I hope that helps you. So my question of the day for callers is, what tips do you have to help with deep grief? What would you suggest or ways to handle that or to help go through that process? And I'm ready to take a few callers here.
All righty. We have Christina from Farmington Hills, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Christina, and hopefully you can help answer Adriana's questions.
Hi, Christina. And can you tell me, do you hear any static? Because I'm hearing a lot of static on my side.
Hi, Adriana. No, I don't.
Oh, good, good. Okay. Okay, so what is your answer to that question?
Me. I'm not really good at that kind of stuff, so I don't know. I usually try to help the best way that I can whenever someone needs something, but I'm not really good when it comes to emotions.
You know, I'll tell you a secret. No one is. Really. You just, you know, you get better by practice. So it's how many times you've had to deal with something like that. You know, the first time someone significant in my life passed, I didn't go to the funeral. I just didn't want to deal with it. I was young. But now I always go to the funeral because the funeral is for the living.
Yeah.
But, well, just off the top of your head, what would you suggest?
The thing that you had said earlier about being kind, just helping the person out.
I think that's beautiful. You're right. That's so important. Kindness is the most important thing.
It is.
It really yeah.
Is.
So what is your question today?
Well, my question was going to be about love.
Mm-hmm.
A general or, you know, whatever comes up would be helpful.
All right. And there's an energy around you of sadness. So did you have a recent breakup or was there something sad that's happening in your love life?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like what they're showing me is that they just want to tell you that your life will continue and that this sad thing that happened is sad, but that it's not forever and it will be washed away. They're singing to me, "Your Heart Will Go On" from the movie Titanic, if you're familiar with that. So know that this is not forever, that this is now. And I feel like someone new will be coming into your life. The someone who you were with, is that completely broken?
Well, I like this guy, and I know that he likes me, but I think he got back together with his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, because I feel like it's completely broken. So I feel like it's gone. But there's other people, and when it's one of those things that when you get with this person who you're supposed to be with, then you'll look back and say, wow, thank God I wasn't there. Because this is okay, but there's something better. There is something better. And it's really, it would be really good for you to wash your hands of this, because you haven't, your hurt hasn't exited from this relationship. So it would be good for you to put this on the back burner. You don't have to throw it out, but put it on the back burner. Say, well, maybe he'll not stay with her, or maybe he'll he'll change his mind and see what he had with me. But put it on the back burner. Wash your hands of it. Put it in his hands. And then go out and start trying to create something new for yourself, because that's part of the grief process, too. It's just taking it and putting it on the back burner. You don't have to say, well, this is it, I'm done, goodbye. You know, you can say, this is it for right now. I'm not dealing with this right now. I still have feelings for this person, but they are not reciprocating them at this point, so I'm putting them on the back burner. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do something fun with my girlfriends. I'm going to look around and see what else there is. And I get the feeling that within 2 years you're going to be in another serious, steady relationship, and this one's going to be more. There's going to be more for you. So, believe it or not, this is a lucky miss. But I know you don't want to hear that right now. So,
wait. So you're saying that this is not the one?
No, he's not the one. Yeah. So put him on the back burner. You don't have to like completely excise him from your life. Just put him on the back burner. Bring something to the foreground. Because I think that that would. Me saying to you, this is not the right one. Just kick him out of your life and go on and move on to somebody else isn't helpful. You know, you still have feelings for this person. You're still going through the grief process. So take that relationship and put it on the back burner. It's still there. He's still important to you. But it's just not what you're going to focus on right now. You're going to focus on something different. Focus on family relationships. Focus on friendship relationships. And allow yourself to have happiness and have contentment with other relationships in your life and be open to something new happening. You don't have to cut him off completely. Just put him on the back burner. All right, well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Adriana. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All righty, we have Laura, and she is from South Jersey, New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Laura, and can you answer Adriana's question?
Hi, Laura.
Hi, I'm sorry. What was the question?
How do you? What are some tips for dealing with deep grief when someone tragically passes, especially with suicide or something that you weren't expecting?
What is what? What did
tips.
You say?
Are you hearing static?
Yeah, I'm not. Did you say hips?
No, a tip.
Hip. I don't know what you're asking. I don't know what you're asking. I don't know what you mean by tip.
No. T-I-P, tip.
Oh, tip. On how to deal with grief?
Yes, especially if for something tragic. Or unexpected.
I share my feelings with people who are my friends and loved ones. Usually,
yeah, that's
the way I get by, is my friends and people that love me.
That's huge. In talking it out, telling people how you feel, sharing memories of that person. I think that's the number one way to do this. The number one way to get through it is by talking, by reaching out. So if you're suffering from a deep grief and you're not talking, you know, and maybe it's okay to not talk for a little while. You don't have to talk all the time. But the most healing thing you can do is talk to someone. That's how we as human beings heal. So thank you for sharing that, Laura.
I'm sorry I didn't understand what you were saying initially.
That's okay.
Sorry.
So what is your question?
I'm looking to see if you are picking up when I'll be able to step into that job that's for my highest good.
Okay. Now, I have a male on the other side for you, so this is father, grandfather.
Could be both.
Okay, who's coming in? And I feel like the father energy is the strongest, so he wants to say hello. And he's giving you a big hug and a kiss, and he wants you to know that he's very proud of you. And he said you've been going through some tough times at work, that there's been turmoil. And he's saying that this has lasted for a while, that this has not been a short time, that this has been a long time. And he's saying that you had three crushing defeats somehow at work. So I don't know if this is just, he's showing me three. So this might have been, you know, like the third year or the third job or something that's just not working right for you.
Right, yes, that's true.
Okay. So know that he's with you and he loves you. He wants you to be happy, and he says you're never happy anymore. What makes you happy? And he's saying that you think it's the perfect job that will make you happy, but that's not the case. He said that you have to actually go out and make yourself happy, and you have to make other people happy. Now, is there another female here? Because he's trying to give me a rose to give to another female.
Not with me, no.
Is there another female in your family?
No.
He's trying to give me a rose for...
There's no other female that I can think of that he would give this
rose. Yeah, your mom is crossed?
Yeah.
Okay. He's just trying to give me this rose to give to you. I felt like it was another female. So you don't have a sister?
No.
Okay.
I have a niece.
Oh, a niece. Thank you. Okay, yes. Thank you. So he's recognizing her by giving her the rose. And, you know, and she needs to be made special. And she is special. And he's showing me she's so beautiful and so intelligent and smart. He wants you to find happiness outside of the job. He wants you to do things that make you happy, okay? And that's the number one thing, because you're not happy. And a lot of it is from the job, but you need to find that happiness outside of the job. Then he's saying that he wants you to redo your resume. And instead of the way that you're doing it, he almost wants you to reverse it, because he says that what you want to do is what you were doing several years ago, not what you're doing now.
That's true.
Okay, so he wants you to redo your resume and focus on that job that you liked or that position that you liked and reorient it around it. And that's going to help you find a better job, more that's what you're looking for. Okay?
Okay.
And he said it's coming soon, but you've got to look for it. And he said, be happy.
Well, the right job will make me happy. It will.
Yes, so there's so much more.
Because it'll set me on a whole different path.
There's so much more than work. There really is. You know what I mean? But reorient your resume. Get out there and start looking. But also, you know, do things that make you happy while you're stuck in this position. You know what I mean? Find happiness outside of work, since you're not going to be able to find it in work.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty. We have Kathy from Detroit. And, Kathy, can you give us some tips for coping with tragic loss?
And I just have to say this, so I'm sorry. Detroit!
Okay.
Hi.
Hello, Kathy. Welcome.
Hi.
So what are some tips that you have for coping with unexpected loss, tragic loss?
Well, with our family, we usually do like a spirit party where we sit around, we laugh, we talk, and we drink, and we talk about the good memories that we had with the person. That's how we cope with it. Because my mother, she'll be dead 25 years from the 20th of this month. So that's usually what we do. Laugh about the good times.
You know, my dad, he passed, and he passed 19 years ago. And he came through about 10 years after he passed, and he said, talk more about me. And I was thinking about that. And the way that they stay alive is through memories, is through, you know, and we pass our memories down to our children.
That's true.
So, you know, my memories of my grandmother are very clear because she told us a lot of stories from her childhood. And those become like family treasures.
True.
Like, for instance, she had a very rough childhood. She was in Scotland, and they were very poor. And there's a family of, I think, there's five children, and then mom and dad's was seven. And every day they would have one egg, and dad would get the egg. And he would hard-boil it. They soft-boiled their eggs. They put it, like, in a little egg cup, which most people don't know what that is. But it's a little thing that just holds a soft-boiled egg.
Mm-hmm.
And he would cut off the top. And then some lucky kid would get the top of the egg. And that made their day if they got the top of the egg, that little bit of white that's still in the top of the egg. And I think about that sometimes when I'm eating three scrambled eggs for breakfast. I'm like, wow, okay. You know, just, you know, a little sliver of egg white there. You know, wow, protein, yay. So, sitting and talking, sharing memories, keeping their memory alive.
Yeah, it's a little spirit party. Just keep them happy and keep yourself happy, really.
I like that, spirit party. I like
that's what
that.
We do.
So when you say we, that's what your family does?
Yes, me, my sister, my son, my niece, nephews, all of us. We sit around and just have a little spirit party, talk about the good times with... That even goes for our friends, too. Because we only had one tragic person, one person that passed away, and that's my mother, and that was 25 years ago, so.
Yeah, so blessed that that's the only tragedy that's really hit your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so nice that your family is so close, that all of you get together like that and share that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, we bicker, but, you know, we really close, though.
So what is your question?
Well, I want to know what my angels and spirit guide has to. Do they have a message about my life?
I just feel like you need to ramp up whatever you're doing for health purposes. Like you need to exercise more, eat right, do things for yourself. Because they're asking you to provide yourself with more. I think the main thing is more activity.
Okay.
And they also want you to study more, study spiritual.
I know I love metaphysical, all things metaphysical, so, you know, that's my passion.
Mm-hmm. They want you to study more.
Okay.
I feel like you are a messenger or a teacher. And,
messenger.
Uh-huh. And so they want you to continue doing that, and they want you to study more because when we're always growing when we study, and when
mm-hmm.
When we stop studying, you know, we sort of become stagnant. So always learn, always be open to learning. I was just talking to a reverend friend of mine who is very important to me, and her name is Kathy Gallmore, Reverend Catherine Gallmore, and she was attending a metaphysical class. And she's telling me about this class. And I'm like, wow, that sounds terrific. And she laughed and she said, someone asked me, why was I in that class? Because the person who was asking her was a much lower level and was wondering why Kathy was in that class because, you know, didn't Kathy already have her ministry? And this is for a spiritual church. And
mm-hmm.
Kathy said, yes, but I always want to learn. And, you know, this is a different way of looking at it. And and she was telling me about the class, and I'm like, I want to do that too. Wow, that sounds terrific. Because when we are good at what we do, which I feel like you're very good at what you do, we always want to get better. We always want to hone that blade, you know. So more physically active.
Okay.
And keep learning spiritually. And I feel like you're at a plateau spiritually, and you feel comfortable where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you that there's more to learn and there's more to grow and that you do have a very strong influence on people around you. I can feel your spiritual energy.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you. Well, but exercise, because I feel like your spiritual energy is very high, and your physical energy needs to match that.
Okay.
So have you been feeling tired lately or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so you need to supplement your body. I might, a woman who's very important and powerful in my life, who I consider my stepmother because it's who my stepfather has remarried, I love her very much, her name's Rachel Sally. She said, as the spiritual body increases, the physical body decreases. So I don't actually hold that to be true because I want to be strong spiritually and physically. But I do notice that I need to work just as hard on my physical body as I do my spiritual body. So they are asking you, do some supplements, do some gentle exercises to pull some more physical energy in for yourself.
Okay, dear.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, and have a blessed
day.
Thank you, dear. Thank you for sharing your light.
Thank you, and have a good weekend.
Thank you. So if you would like a reading with me in person, you can reach out to me at mysticconnections.com. I also have a Facebook page, Mystic Connections, if you would be so kind as to reach out there and like that. And I do phone readings for throughout the country. In fact, throughout the world, I do international readings, and I will change my schedule to accommodate yours. And I also do in-person readings when I am in your area, and I'm in Michigan. So generally anywhere in southeastern Michigan or mid-Michigan, I travel to. And you can reach me directly at 248-379-7324. Visit my website, or you can send me an email at mysticconnect@aol.com. I'm going to leave you with these thoughts. The most important thing that you can do if someone who you loved intensely has passed is to live. You know, if someone died, then honor their memory by living. Live their dream, you know. If someone always wanted to make that trip to, the Grand Canyon, go to the Grand Canyon. Take that picture. You know, tell them, I'm here. I did this for you. You know, someone always wanted to go to the Great Wall of China. You don't have to go to the Great Wall of China. But if you feel an inkling to go to the Great Wall of China, then start saving, start planning. It's really important for you to live your life and your dreams. Sometimes when people pass, we feel like, you know, when my father passed, I felt like, well, who's going to live on? Who's going to keep pursuing his dreams? It took me a couple years, but, you know, this is my life. This is what I want to do. Treasure yourself. You are the most important person in your world. Take care of yourself. You have to put yourself first. Everything else comes after. And if you're a caretaker and you lost the person who you spent years and years taking care of, do you know what a blessing you are? You do not have to get yourself into another caretaker situation to feel needed again. Take some time and take care of you, because you are the most important person. And you are a blessing on this planet. Thank you all. Have a blessed day. Go out there and do something wonderful for someone.